So hallelujah. I want to introduce this man, and this isn't taken into your 30 minutes, okay? So I'm going to, this is a good friend of mine, and I would call a senior, an elder in our church, not just age-wise, but really has come to a place of maturity, leading by example. So I appreciate that. He has been here, how many years? 21st year. That's good. When you can say you stuck around here for 21 years and not run off and heard, oh my God, all these messages and stated. And Ralph is he's a good friend, hunting buddy. He's traveled with me to Tulsa. We went on was it a summer trip? Summer? Do you remember what? June 5th? What year? 85? Or no. 2000. I knew it was. So we went out to Tulsa, and he was exposed to that good family prayer center out in Tulsa. The amazing part is what I've watched, the transition and the growth and the different things that he's had to overcome, like so many of you. He's a next-door neighbor, so I've got to watch his life, not, you know, trying to, but just observing so many different things. And he's one of those overcomers. He's an overcomer. He has overcome and overcome and overcome. It's like Marty that will never be killed in a car accident. He's had several of them, and testimony is our own Homer. The devil can't kill that man. He just can't kill him. He's tried. Every time he tries, it somehow Homer comes out. So, hallelujah. I've watched Ralph go through so many different things. Congestive heart failure that they and you usually don't. A lot of stuff, blockages and those. Now I shouldn't get into this because I don't know everything about. Not even an inkling, but I know that congestive, the weakening of the muscles, the heart, and those kinds of things are very hard to ever overcome that. It usually just continues to debilitate as the years go on. I mean, you can operate and pull out blockages and those kinds of things, but it was really bad for years, and he just stood on the word and kept confessing. I remember one day when the ambulance pulled up there to pick him up, and he really looked like to me this was maybe his last day on the planet. And he was giving me, do you remember that? You were giving me all your stuff, your wallet and whatever cash you had. And he was saying, like, you may need to keep these because I don't know when I'll see you again. And that was when he was probably having a heart attack or something close to it. Okay, sugar diabetes, 622 was the sugar count. 600, okay. And he had sugar diabetes, and but I know he had the congestive, and but he's come through all of that. He would come over at times and sit with me and hardly able to breathe, and go through a list of, he says, I hate these. They're telling me I got to take these medicines to live, but they're killing me. And the medicine sometimes is as bad as the, it's like I can understand, I can truly understand when somebody comes to a place and says, you know what, live, die, sink, swim, whatever, come and pick me up, just tell them to come and pick me up because I'm not taking this stuff no more. I can understand how people would come to that. And he came to that, and but I'll tell you what, I have seen God heal him of congestive heart failure, diabetes, cancer. He had a cancer. He was several weeks, if not months, in therapy, but he's come through all of it, and he's totally healed. And as far as I know, it's almost no medicines at all now, zero. Okay, just pretty much. I mean, that's it. Maybe an Advil if the pastor preaches too long. He's giving me a headache. I got to get out of here. So hallelujah. So with no further ado, Let's give a great big hand for our good friend Ralph Morgan. Amen.
Well, as ESPN always says, due to time restraints, we will go fast forward here. And what I want to talk about tonight is what I want to talk about tonight is we've all pretty much got sin down in our hearts and our minds. But the one thing the Lord has showed me here recently, that there was something that came before sin. And that was disobedience. Because when you're disobedient, it's sin. Without disobedience, there is no sin, actually. Because if you're sinning, you're doing something you ain't supposed to do. And he showed me that from the very beginning in the garden, he told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the fruit or you will die. So what did they do? They were disobedient. They ate the fruit and they died, you know, eventually. But that's what he was saying to them, you know. And I just got a lot of things here I wrote down just to try to set the basis for it. And that was out of Genesis 1, Genesis 19, with Sodom and Gomorrah, they was disobedient. He destroyed them. Lot's wife was disobedient, turned back. She was destroyed. And the thing that really got me was when I got to Exodus. And God was telling Moses, go to Pharaoh. Tell him, you know, this and this, or this is what's going to happen or whatever. And I had missed for years, I missed the part where God hardened his heart to where he wouldn't obey what he was told, speaking of Pharaoh. And I kept reading it and reading it, and I asked God, I said, well, if you was telling him he had to do this, but then you wouldn't allow him to do it, but why? And he said, because I was trying to teach my children before they entered into the valley of sin that disobedience will bring forth death. And that's what he was trying to teach his people through the disobedience of Pharaoh. This is things that's going to happen to you if you're disobedient. Because they didn't know him. He hadn't even talked to one in, what, 400 years? And they didn't even know him. So he had to teach them, if you're disobedient, you're going to die. And but he said he told me, I want them to see it. They got to see what it's going to, and count the cost of what disobedience, because of course he knew they was going to be disobedient. But of course they didn't learn. They didn't pay attention like a lot of people do. And, you know, the first thing right off the bat, they started complaining about food, and he gave them the manna, and he told them, you know, don't keep it. Well, guess what? They were disobedient, and they kept it. And then in Exodus 20, he said, there shall have no other gods before me. Keep my covenant, my judgments. They didn't do it. Exodus 34, he said, make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you will go. Guess what? One of the first things they've done was made a covenant with them. Yeah. You get to Leviticus, and it was, I'm going to just say these names, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. They were instructed that when they brought the fire to the tabernacles for the offerings, that they were to bring the fire from the tabernacle. Well, they were disobedient, and they didn't do it. They brought, it says, they brought forth a strange fire. Guess what? The Lord devoured them. Disobedient, didn't do what he told them, and he killed them. Numbers 11, the people complained, was complaining, and it angered the Lord, disobedience, so he consumed them with fire. Numbers 20 said, the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron and said, you believe me not to sanctify me. Moses and Aaron being disobedient. He said, you shall not bring this congregation into the land I gave you. The Lord said to Aaron, because you believe me not against the word at the water of Meribah. He killed Aaron, actually. He died because he was disobedient in the water. And of course, Aaron himself built an idol when Moses was on the mountain. And then again in Numbers, it was disobedience because they was complaining again over the food when God gave him the quail. It says, and the people stood all day and night lusting after the quail. And it says in the word, he says, while the flesh was still between their teeth, God put a very great plague upon the people. They were disobedient. They just wouldn't quit. Numbers 12, it was Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses, which was disobedience. And the anger of the Lord was kindled, and Miriam became leprous. She was disobedient. Numbers 14. So again, complaining against Miriam and Aaron, the people wanted to stone them. Disobedience. So God said, Numbers 22, he said, this people have tempted me 10 times. They shall not see the promised land. Disobedience brought forth death because everybody from the age of 20 up wandered in the wilderness until they all died. Disobedience unto death. And then it even says in Numbers 16, the famous and the renowned people that was in the congregation rose up against Moses and Aaron through disobedience. They were jealous, and the earth swallowed them up. Disobedient, death. And all the people were mad at Moses and Aaron, so the Lord put a plague on them. Being disobedient again. And because of the water at the Meribah, it says, he told Aaron, he said, you shall be brought up on Mount Hor and die there. So he went up on the mountain and died because of disobedience. The Lord told Moses, because of his disobedience, he says, you'll never set foot in the promised land. Promised it to him, but disobedience. And Moses died, never set foot in the promised land. Lord carried him up on the mountain and showed it to him, but he never was able to set a foot in it. And then the Lord told Israel to go and possess the land so that he could build his tabernacles and places of sacrifice. He told him to destroy all the inhabitants of the land so that I may sanctify the land. To this very day, they still have not possessed all the land that God gave them. They never did, still haven't. And a lot of the inhabitants that was there, still there to this day. The Palestinians are still living with them. And they told them to kill them all. There weren't none of them supposed to be alive. And they made covenants with them. And then in Judges, I got it wrote down here, it's just too many names to be named of all the people that are still there that were supposed to be destroyed. They were disobedient. They didn't take the land like he told them. They made covenants with the people and he told them not to do it. Just one right after another. And even in Samuel, Saul was told what to do, but he was afraid. He was told to take in war against the Palestinians or the Palestine, and he was afraid of them. So what did he do? Out of disobedience, instead of destroying them, he went and got him a woman with a strange spirit. Now Samuel was dead. And he went and got the woman with a strange spirit to disquiet Samuel, to wake him up from the dead. I mean, how disobedient can you be? He told you to do something, you don't do it, you go and wake up a dead man to talk to. Disobedience. And then Samuel told him, he said, by not executing the wrath of God upon Amalek, that the Philistines would kill all of Saul's men. And guess what? Killed every one of them. The only ones he didn't kill was Saul himself and his guard that was around him, and they committed suicide. They were so afraid, they killed themselves. Didn't have to do it. And I said all that just to try to set the grounds on disobedience. And that's what the Lord is showing us about disobedience. And now here we are, 2020, 2020. And guess what's going on? Disobedience. We've been given a new opportunity now. We've been given a land to possess. God has said, possess Immokalee. That's what we stand for. So are we going to be obedient or disobedient? Well, the prophecies from the 2020 papers, they're our Ten Commandments. Just like in Moses and them, they had the Ten Commandments. Well, we've been given the Ten Commandments. We've been told to promise to conquer the land, to take the land, to possess it. It says to show us what to do out of the 20 papers is to be ready to take the land, to show us how to be obedient. And as you go through this prophecy and assimilate them, I can see in there, and I'm speaking strictly to me, I see my part where the Lord has placed me in these prophecies. But at the same time, I see where I have been disobedient. I've been at this church like 20 years, and I have not been obedient to not only what God has given me, but not even to my own words and my own confessions. We come here on Sunday nights and we do these confessions. Do them and do them and do them, and are we being obedient under what we're even saying? We got to be obedient or it's not going to work. He's given me a call in this, what we call revival. Am I being obedient? Am I doing what he's telling me to do? Am I fasting and praying and reading the word, building up my faith? Am I doing all that when I'm supposed to? I ain't going to stand here and lie. But the thing that really pricked my heart, that, and I know the way it touched my heart is probably different than what it actually says, but it says, out of the prophets, it says, walk, you are free indeed. It says those, and it says in there, it says, those that wait upon you, those that are waiting upon Ralph in heaven, those that went before you as patriarchs of the faith, says they're still waiting on us. All of heaven is waiting on us. My God, if that don't touch your heart, what will? I mean, we have no clue how many people's in heaven, but they're waiting on us. They're watching us and waiting. Waiting on me? You know? Says they're waiting on us to finish our great assignment, which is revival. He says, possess the land. This is the death of obedience. All those that are lost waiting on me. They're dying. I'm not dying. But there's people dying all around us while they're waiting on us. All the time. Somebody's dying somewhere waiting on us to fulfill our great assignment. And I don't know about you people, but it makes me want to cry just standing here. Just even to think about it. And I would really love to be known by my God that I was a man that was willing and able to finish my assignment. To be obedient, to be an obedient son, and I say this with all humility, because it is by grace. But he says in the prophecies of harvesters come forth, it says that there first must be a willing heart. Got to have a willing heart to be obedient. We can't be obedient without it. And the power of intimacy. And I say in a confession, I say I have a willing heart. In Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, one of my my most favorite proverbs. It says, my son Ralph, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them. And health to all their flesh. And in this context, this would be the 2020 papers. We got to keep them in our hearts, keep them in our mouths, keep them in our hand. We got to live them. And if we're not doing that, I'm being disobedient. These 2020 papers has ministered to me. I mean, I'm scared to put a number to it. It's been unbelievable. They have set me free in so many aspects in my walk. When I read them, they're talking to me. I'm getting ahead of myself, and I don't even know if I should say this or not, but I've got 92 confessions that I have copied out of the 2020 papers, and I do them on an average of 6 days a week. They're that important to me because that's our assignment. We've been here in this church for over 20 years, 25 years. What are we here for? For revival. Why would we be doing or saying or anything that doesn't have to do with revival? Because that's what our life is. That's what we're called to do. We shouldn't be doing nothing else. That's all there is. That's our assignment. My God, all of heaven is waiting on us. We've consecrated our life to this. Our time, our body, our words, all of our efforts, just for this one thing that we call revival. And we're going to do all this 20 years just to be disobedient and not fulfill it, not to do what we're told to do. Now, when God is calling us through these prophecies, He says, it's time to possess the land. He give it to us. It's time, people. And I'm talking to me. It's time to possess this land. People are dying. Disobedience unto death. The Lord says, stay in a place of my word and a place of my presence. Move out of that place. I will direct you into the harvest. If we're obedient, God is standing there waiting on us to direct us right into the harvest. He's our strength. We got to live in the humility of that we do nothing of our own, but all things through Christ Jesus. And another prophet says, intimacy is the hour we live in. I'm afraid we're not very intimate with God when we're disobedient because He's not in it. And if He's not in it, there's no intimacy because He ain't with you. You're on your own. And I'm going to say this, even though I said I wouldn't. But this is an invitation to all my brothers and sisters to be obedient to your willing heart. You can't tell me you don't have a willing heart. You ain't been sitting here for 20 years with me. If you don't have a willing heart, you'd have all quit and went home a long time ago. You have the heart. I know you have the heart. Let's honor our own heart and be obedient to ourself. We can't just throw everything away. All of our words that have been confessed for the last 20 years, you're just going to throw it away by being disobedient. One disobedience is all it takes because I fear in myself that through disobedience that it can and will stop the anointing of God that God has given me to fulfill this assignment. If I'm disobedient, He's not going to keep pouring out that anointing on me because I'm not doing what He's telling me to do. I'm not being obedient. Through obedience, we have to finish. We have to finish. We can't stop now. These 2020 papers to me is again, and I know I done said it, but I don't know how to say it. They have become my life. I can't hardly spend a day without reading them through the confessions. I've read them, and I read them, and the Lord has made them so strong in my life that I can't continue to read them all every day, but so I write down the confessions, and the confessions I can do. So I, you know, build it up. Keep it alive in me. Keep obedience alive. I can't let it become stagnant, because once it becomes stagnant, then it's dead, and then I'm back to disobedience again. If I confess these prophecies over my life and this church, and then I don't do them, I'm disobedient unto death, to somebody's death. The death of the people of Immokalee, I don't want my God to tell me I am asking for something I won't do. I want my God to say, well done, son. Not, well, why do you keep asking me for things and you're not willing to do them? Again, it's more disobedience. Every time I do these confessions or read them out of these 2020 papers, it's like they're alive. There's a new light shines on them, a new understanding. They're alive. People, the more you do them, the more they're alive, and you can read them and say, I know it, I know it, I know it. And go back and read them again, and guess what? You'll find something else. They will talk to you. They will help you to be obedient under what we're called to do. We're called to possess Immokalee. And I have to judge my own heart in this, because this is all I got. This is my life. Without this church, without God, without this assignment, I'm a cat chasing my tail. There wouldn't be nothing else to do. This is our life. This is what we're called to do. There is nothing else in life. So what else are we going to do? We have to do what the Lord has given us, what we've asked for. You know, God didn't come here and say, you have to have revival. He didn't say, I'm putting this on you. We stood here and said, we want it. So we have to be obedient to our own word and not be disobedient. Can't stand here and say, you want something, then don't do it. We have been given the best gift that a son or daughter could be given. Not only his love, his salvation, not only his name, but in time we have been given the greatest assignment from God since Jesus himself. He's given us revival, given us an opportunity to have it. Jesus came, what? To save the world. Now we're sent, what? To save Immokalee. The greatest assignment since Christ came and died for us. As he did, he changed the history of the whole world. Prophecy says that I can change the history of my world. Change the history of Immokalee. He done it. We can do it. As he is, so are we. We can change Immokalee. He's given it to us. We've asked for it. We have the authority to take it in his name. It says, find peace in me and know my word. Find peace in me and know my word, then revival will come. Because without peace, without his word, it's just not there. This is our commandments, as I understand them. It's a list, and I'm going to read them to you, and I think most of you will understand them. Some may not, but I hope you do. The first commandment, bring forth intercession in these last days. The next one is, bring me gold. The next one, you who have ears to hear, endure the fight. Intimacy is the hour you live in. Complete the purging process. Know your significance. I am coaching you Sounds like I'm being given a call. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will return. Move out of my authority. Go deeper into me. He's given us a better understanding even more than he did his own people, because that was 11 commandments. And we ain't through yet. But he says, through subsequent instructions, more commandments, says, rest in me, harvesters come forth. Says, no surrogates. Father says, yet they will not take the time to be instructed. What does that mean? Are we being disobedient again? We won't even take the time to be instructed. That's straight out of his prophecy. No surrogates. We're being disobedient. We don't even want to take the time to be instructed. I can't see it. The next commandment says, be a zealous people. The world needs you to need me. Find peace in me and know my word. Says, then revival will come. Says, I'll take care of you as you do my work. Walk, you are free indeed. Says, know your wealth in the Spirit. Come up higher. Take joy in me. How could anyone ever have a better set of commandments? Because it's, to me, I read these commandments and it just says, Father just keeps saying, I love you, Ralph. I love you, Ralph. I love you. I give you this word. I've given you these papers. I give them to you because I love you. Don't be disobedient in God's love. Live these words. Let them become part of your life. Guess what? Because his mercy endureth forever. And I said all this was something that the Lord has put in my heart. If you don't read Proverbs, you're missing out on one of the greatest wealths you'll ever have in life. And God says, with mercy and with humility, you can have these commandments, you can have this revival. I just ask you to help me. Help me be obedient. Let's finish this call. Let's fulfill this assignment. People, I can't stand the thought that all of heaven's waiting on me. It's not a burden. It's not a yoke around my neck. It's just, I've been given an assignment. Yes. And it's filled with love. Yes. Love your neighbor. Love your family. And let's fulfill this assignment.